Like Nikki said, we have two scriptures, and the first is going to be from Matthew 24, 36 through 44. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be left in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief would be coming, he would have stayed awake and would have not let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Second reading is from Romans 13, 11 through 14. Paul says, besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, nor in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. So I found this sermon challenging to write. You know, for those of you who have preached before or who just have spoken or done any kind of writing before, you know, sometimes you're into it and you're feeling it. You're like, yes, I can do this. And other times you're just like, I don't want to do this. And this is one of those, I don't want to do this. I found it tough to write, and this may sound strange, but I found it tough to write because Jesus' words in Matthew 24 sound so clear and true to me. They sound clear and true to me, and I don't know what to do with them. Jesus says that before the destruction that came on the world in the days of Noah, everyone was going about their daily lives and enjoying themselves and imagining that nothing would change. And then kabloom, right? Tsunami hits them. And Jesus' point is that we shouldn't be like those foolish people who were swept away in the flood. We shouldn't imagine that our lives are so firmly established that they will continue on as they are forever. We should expect our own flood. I found this passage hard to reflect on and the sermon hard to write because I feel like I'm already living in a space of high alert, a space of heightened readiness and even alarm. I'm watching the signs of the times. I'm observing the mounting divisions in our country that feel so unsustainable. I'm watching global geopolitics and seeing how easy it would be for the conflicts between the great powers, NATO and Russia, the US and China, to spiral out of control into a truly global confrontation. Everything about life right now feels on edge, like we're all living in a gasoline-soaked house full of crazy people brandishing matches. So I feel alert. You didn't need to tell me, Jesus. My eyes are open, darting nervously around the room. I don't know if I'm ready, but unlike the owner of the house that Jesus mentions, I feel like I'm prepared to stay up all night because it seems very likely the thief is on the way. So it felt hard to prepare a sermon on Jesus' call to watchfulness because the ever-present demand of watchfulness has been falling on me. It's been falling on our country, and it's been falling on the world for the last few years now, at least. And it just seems to be growing more intense. It's like, can I get more awake than this? How much more caffeine do I need? What's going to happen, and how will we survive it? It's felt hard to prepare a sermon on this passage from Matthew because I've been struggling to find where the good news is here. Because I don't want to stay awake all night looking for thieves. I don't want to get an ark ready in the face of a world-ending flood. I don't want unpredictable things to happen. I don't want people to start disappearing. the coming of the Son of Man, as presented to us in this passage from Mark, doesn't sound like good news at all to me right now. So I found it helpful to have a word from Paul here, from his letter to the Romans, who's also talking about this same thing, as far as I can tell, to shine a little light into what we as followers of Jesus are to expect from Jesus' coming. And just like Jesus, Paul uses a nighttime metaphor. He compares our present age to the darkness of night. And the age that's to come, the advent of Jesus into the world, he compares to the dawning of a new day. And what does Paul say our response should be to this new day that's coming? It's time to wake up. At nighttime, it's appropriate to be asleep. But we know what time it is. We know the resurrection power of Jesus is coming onto the scene. We know that it's coming soon. The sky is lighting up in an anticipation of the dawn. Salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is almost over. Soon it'll be bright as day. I've been thinking about this sort of twilight period, right? And with the time change that we had a few weeks ago, I ended up seeing a lot more dawns than I normally did. And for folks who have, especially for folks who have, if you've ever stayed up to watch a dawn in a very low light place out in the woods or something, you'll notice there's various stages of the dawn. At first it's night and you can see the stars, and then everything is just a little bit lighter, but you can almost miss it. And there's like, I think three different stages of dawn. There's nautical twilight, there's civil twilight. They've got classifications for them. And if you watch and you know what you're looking for, you can see them. You can see the sky changing. And so that is, I'm thinking of that as I'm thinking of what Paul says about, you know what time it is, and it's time to wake up. The light is coming. And we can see it, even if the sun isn't out yet, we can see the effect of the light. And this is why we say that Jesus is the light, because I think it's safe to say his kingdom is not here in fullness yet, but we can already see the effects of it. And when he comes, all things are made clear, even as they're becoming a little bit more clear here in whatever twilight we're in, nautical or civil, I don't know. But when he comes in fullness, all falsehood is swept away, like shadows before the sun. All injustice is brought to light. All evil is exposed. And so Paul urges us to get our lives in order now that this twilight period that we live in, so that we will be prepared to walk in the light of day when the sun is up. And there's no sense in waiting, right? If you wake up in the morning, you know you got to get to work, and you see it's just almost dawn. Well, me personally, I hit the snooze. But Paul says, no, don't hit the snooze. There's no point in that. You can't roll over and go back to sleep for another 20 minutes. The day is dawning. There's things to do. There's preparations to make. Whatever we need to do to get ready for the day ahead, let's do it now. After all, who wants to wake up late? Has this ever happened to you? You wake up at 10 a.m. on a work day and you realize you're late to work. I think I've mostly had nightmares about this rather than actual experiences. But it's better to get up early than to wake up at 10 a.m. on a work day. Better to get ready now. It's better to walk decently as in the day, not reveling in drunkenness or sexual immorality or fighting of any kind. It's better to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the things of the night. So unlike the passage from Matthew, sorry, Jesus, this does sound like good news to me. Paul saying the day is approaching. It's time to wake up. The darkness is weakening. It's time to live in the light and see what has been hidden. Now, this sounds like good news if I want to embrace the light. It sounds like good news if I'm committed to being a peacemaker, if I'm committed to living a life of justice and righteousness. It sounds like good news if I want to see things as they really are, and if I'm ready to have my secrets exposed before God and the world. Well, that's the catch. That's what the enemies of Jesus absolutely don't want. And we've all been his enemies at times. To be exposed. To be forced to give up the deeds of darkness. Self-righteousness, egotism, lust, hurting other people, hoarding while others are in need. It's scary to give up the deeds of darkness, especially if you're not quite convinced that the day is coming. Because in the age of darkness, the deeds of darkness feel like comfort. They feel like protection. They feel like the best we can do. But Paul encourages us that a new day is coming. And in the light of that day, the deeds of darkness will be exposed for what they really are. Quite the opposite of being adaptive, protective, comforting, they'll prove to be disastrous. When the day breaks, the deeds of darkness and those who refuse to repent of them will be swept away. And this is good news because we know what time it is. We know that the day of the Lord is coming, and we have an opportunity to become people fit to live in daytime. We can choose not to hit the snooze. We can choose to get up and prepare. This is good news because although the Son of Man comes at an hour we do not expect, we know that he's coming soon. We may not know exactly when the sun will peak above the hills, but we can already see its light. The stars of night are beginning to fade and the day star is visible. Today, we're entering the season of Advent. Ta-da! It's the first day of the church year. Happy New Year. It's a time to prepare ourselves for Jesus' arrival in the world. It's a time to examine ourselves and ask, in this twilight age, how does the way that I'm living prepare me to live in the daylight that will soon be here? Advent is the promise that the evil of this age, despite all of its apparent strength, is in fact transitory. The true reality is coming, and we can prepare ourselves for it. So stay awake, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for those things that are practiced in darkness. Stay awake and get ready for the day that's ahead. Stay awake and turn your eyes to the rising sun, because a new day is dawning.